tonight I come back to the same story in Acts chapter 27, Paul on his way to Rome in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a hurricane. And tonight I want to mention five things that we're in the middle of when we're in the middle of that storm. And you might say tonight, well, preacher, I'm not in the middle of the storm, but these are things we ought to do before the storm comes so that when it does come, we're ready for it. And again, I'm not talking about the thunderstorm kind of storm, you know, where the thunder rolls and the lightning flashes and it rains and then it quits. I'm talking about the kind of storm that's a hurricane. Where the wind blows and the waves billow, and you can't tell whether it's night or day, and it goes on day after day after day. You get up in the morning, you wonder if you're going to make it through the day. You wonder if you're going to crack before the day is over. And so whether you're in a storm like that tonight or whether God's getting you ready for a storm like that that might be coming in the next few days or the next few weeks, I want you to listen tonight. I want to mention five things. I'm going to use the Apostle Paul and the 276 people that were in the ship tonight in this story, and I'm going to use them tonight to set the reference for these five things I want to mention to you tonight about how to make it through the storm. The first one is this: much time with God. That's how you make it through the storm. You spend much time with God. We read in Acts chapter 27, verses 21, 23, the hurricane comes. Paul goes down to the hold of the ship. He goes below deck, and he gets alone with God. He gets his Bible out, and he gets down on his knees, and he says this: God, we need you. I read in the book of Matthew, I heard the story in the book of Matthew where you walked through a storm one night, that you fell asleep in the back of a ship in the storm one night on this same sea. I read where that you calmed that storm. God, in case you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of a hurricane. It looks like we're all going to die. I don't know how you're going to do it, but we need your help tonight. And the Bible says, after long abstinence, after a long time, Paul came up, and his shipmates asked him, "Where you been, Paul?" "I've been with God, and everything's going to be all right." Let me ask you tonight again. I don't want you to answer, but I just want you to answer in your own heart and your own mind. How much time do you spend with God? How much time do you spend with your God? In the middle of the storm, 5 minutes won't do it. In the middle of the storm, just a few minutes a day won't do it. In the middle of the storm, we need to spend much time with God. And so I ask you again, how much time do you spend in this book? We ought to spend more time in this book than we do any other book. We ought to spend more time in this book than we spend watching TV or listening to the radio or reading novels or reading the newspaper, reading magazines. We ought to spend more time in this book than we do anything else. That's how we spend much time with God. How much time do we spend in prayer? It's a wonderful thing to pray before your meals. It's a wonderful thing to pray before you go to bed at night. But the Bible says we ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to be in the spirit of prayer every moment of every day. We ought to keep, if we use the telephone analogy, we ought to keep God on the line. We ought to keep a line open between us and God all day. In the middle of the storm, that's what we need. How much time do you spend in his house? And I know I'm speaking to the Sunday night crowd tonight, so maybe I won't get in trouble like I did this morning in Sunday school. But how much time do you spend in his house? In the middle of the storm, this is where we ought to be. So many times people get in the middle of the storm and they get mad at God and they quit coming to fellowship with his people. They don't come to sit under the preaching of his word or the teaching of his word. That's when we need it the most. In the middle of the storm is when we need to hear from God through his word. How much time do we spend listening to gospel songs and listening to the songs that remind us about how good God is? Our help is in the Lord. To God be the glory. We're going to read about in just a little while about how all at the end of this story, all 276 people stood on the beach. They were all drenching wet. It was raining. But if that song was around back then, that was the song they would have sang. To God be the glory for the things he hath done. We in the middle of the storm, we ought to sing that song to ourselves and remind us about how God has worked. The only way we're going to make it through a storm is to spend much time with God. Now, I know people that say, well, I don't have time to do that. No, tell the truth tonight. It's not that we don't have time. It's that we don't make time. There's none of us so busy that we can't make time to spend with our God. We don't make the time. And we need to make the time. Much time with God is how we're going to make it through the storms. And life is full of storms. Again, as I mentioned this morning, we don't get to pick if or when they come. Sometimes they come on us suddenly. And we ought to be in the habit of spending much time with God so when the storms come, our anchor holds. So much time with God. Number two, much faith in God. We read it again in Acts chapter 27, verses 24 and 25. Paul says, I got alone with God, and he told me everything's going to be all right. In fact, he told me that all 276 of us are going to be okay. And so he said, don't worry. I believe God. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The Apostle Paul couldn't see a way out of the storm. He didn't see how they were going to make it. I mean, he if you look at it from a human standpoint, before he spent time with God, he said, we're not going to make it. But he spent time with God, and God said, listen, everything's going to be okay. And Paul says, I believe him. I believe him. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Is simply believing what God says. Not just the mental assent, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, but that confidence that we have in God. It's standing on what God says, believing it's going to happen, having no doubt in my mind that what God says he's going to do, he has the ability to do it and will do it. I'll be honest with you tonight. I don't understand all the promises that God has made in the Bible. I don't understand why he would grant all those promises to me as a sinner. But I want you to know tonight, I believe every one of them. I believe every one of them. I was talking to Debbie about Michael this week. And Debbie has been under a lot of strain as she's tried to help Michael get through this thing that he's going through. And she said he's getting a little bit better, but not much. And so whenever she calls me, she always tries to tell me a story. She thinks I need cheering up. And so she told me a story about this little girl that went to Sunday school and heard the story of Jonah and the big fish that swallowed him. And she went home from Sunday school, and her uncle, who she didn't like very much, was visiting. And her uncle just asked, well, what'd you learn about in Sunday school this morning? And this little girl said, oh, we heard the story of Jonah and the whale. Jonah and the big fish. And her uncle said, do you really believe that story? Do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by the whale? And the little girl said, yes, I believe it. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if it's really true. And her uncle said, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? She said, well, then you can ask him. I had to chuckle. I don't doubt anything that's in this book. Everything that's in this book, I believe is true. Because God said it. I've come to many points in my life where things have happened. And I've gone to God and said, God, why did you let this happen? I don't understand why you let this happen in my life. And there's been things that have happened that I can't explain, that I can't understand. But I believe God had a purpose for it. I believe God was in the midst of it. And I believe that God is always true and always faithful. And we can put our faith and trust in Him. We can depend on Him, and that He will never, ever let us down. And so, regardless of how black the night is, regardless of how strong the wind blows, regardless of how big the waves billow, regardless of how much the ship is tossed, I believe God. Amen. And that's what Paul said. We're going to make it. He told me we're going to make it, and I believe him. How do we make it through the storm? Much time with God. Much faith in God. Number three, little fear, much cheer. Little fear, much cheer. We get in the middle of the storm. We have a choice to make. How are we going to face it? In the middle of the storm, we have one of two choices. We can be afraid. We can be, when the storm comes, we can be afraid. We can get what I like to call the Eeyore complex. That little donkey on Winnie the Pooh. That little donkey that goes about and says, "Woe is me. I'm going to die. There's no way we're going to make it." And when you have that attitude, that Eeyore complex, it sort of builds on itself. You expect the worst, and as you look around, pretty soon you see more and more of the worst happening. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so we can make that choice. I'm going to be afraid, or we could choose cheer. We could choose joy. And there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is dependent on what's happening in my life. If good things are happening, I'm happy. If bad things are happening, I'm sad. But joy doesn't depend on what's happening in our life. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy comes from God. And Paul says, be of good cheer. I've heard from God. He says we're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Amen. Be of good cheer. Choose cheer, not fear. Little fear, much cheer. Number four. Much time with God. Much faith in God. Little fear, much cheer. Number four, take care of yourself physically. Take care of yourself physically. When we get in the middle of the storm, sometimes we neglect our physical bodies. Look, let me read verses 33 through 36 for you from that chapter. We didn't read it a minute ago, but if you have your Bibles open, you can follow along. But if not, just listen. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." They were in the middle of that hurricane for 2 weeks, 14 days. And they hadn't eaten in those 14 days. "Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health." What Paul was saying, now look, you haven't eaten for 14 days. You need to eat something. This is for your health. "For there shall not and hair fall from the head of any of you." Now listen, that was a big promise. They were going through this storm. We know the end of the story. The ship was going to be washed up and break apart in the waves. They were all going to be cast into the sea. They were all going to have to swim towards shore. And Paul said, now look, everything's going to be okay. Not one person's going to lose one hair. That's a pretty big promise. Not one person is going to lose one hair. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Storms make demands on our physical bodies. In the middle of the storm, you need to make sure you're taking care of yourself. You need to make sure that you're eating properly and you get plenty of rest. So let me just be your mother for a little bit tonight. You need to eat good, balanced meals, especially in the middle of the storm. Pizza and hot dogs and Twinkies won't get it. Won't get it. It won't give you what you need in the middle of the storm. You need to get your rest. I was visiting with Don and Marlene, I read this not too long ago. I read that 1 hour of sleep before midnight is worth 2 hours after midnight. As far as your body processes and uses the rest that you get, that 1 hour of sleep before midnight is worth two after. Now their daughter was there helping their granddaughter make cookies, and she said, well, let me ask you, if that's true, does that count if I get up at 8 o'clock and get the kids off to school and then go back to bed at 10? Does that still, and I said, well, that's still before midnight, so that would be better than wait until 2 o'clock in the morning to go to bed. But if you're in the middle of a storm, you need to eat right, and you need to get rest. I was talking to a lady in our church, and she's going through some rough times, and most of you don't know it. She's the kind of person that when she comes in and you ask her how she's doing, she just smiles and she says, everything's fine, and she's just going, she's in the middle of a hurricane right now. And I asked her a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I said, how are you sleeping at night? She says, oh, I sleep like a baby. When my head hits the pillow, I just go to sleep. I said, well, how do you do that with everything that's going on in your life? And surely you'll like this. She said, Pastor, I have a little cat. And that cat, it loves to play. It's got a little stuffed whale. And that little cat will take that whale and shake it and just throw it around the house and chase it here and there. It's like a whirlwind going through the house with that little cat and that stuffed whale. And then she said, I made it a little ball of tinfoil. And that little cat just bats that tinfoil around like a hockey player. And it goes and goes and goes. It's just like a hurricane going through the house. But she said, Pastor, you know what that cat does most of the time? It plays. When it plays hard. But most of the time, you know what that cat does? It sleeps. And when it's not sleeping, it's eating. She said, Pastor, I'm as smart as my cat. And when I get tired, I go to bed. And when I get hungry, I eat. And that cat has nothing to worry about. Because I feed it and I give it a place to stay. And I figure if I take care of my cat that good, then my Heavenly Father is going to take care of me better than I take care of my cat. And so when I go to bed at night, I just put my head down on the pillow and I go right to sleep. In the middle of the storm, we need to take care of ourselves. Paul says, go ahead and eat. This is for your health. You need it. And then number 5. Use your broken dreams to help others make it safe to shore. Let me read a couple more verses for you. Same chapter, last 3 verses of the chapter, verses 42 through 44. And the soldiers' council, this is after the ship had broken up on the rocks with the waves, and the soldiers' council was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. I mentioned this morning the main purpose of the ship was not to carry passengers, but to carry cargo. It had a cargo of wheat that when the storm came, they threw it into the ocean or into the sea and to lighten the ship. Again, you read the rest of the story. The ship, they discover land, a creek in that land. They let out the sails and take up the anchors and they made their way toward shore. The ship got wedged in the place where the two seas met, the Bible says, and they ran it aground. The front of it stuck fast in the shore, and the back of it was beaten in the waves, and it broke apart. And Paul, or the centurion, told, again, some of the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners because if they escaped, it would be their life for the prisoners escaping. But the centurion, in order to save Paul, said, no, if you can swim, just go ahead and cast yourself into the sea and make your way toward shore. And if you can't swim, grab a piece of the ship, the broken ship, and hang on to it and make your way toward shore. Sometimes in the middle of the storm, our dreams are broken. Something that you wanted, something that you strive for, something that was an objective or a goal in your life that you work for is broken in the storm. And there's pieces of your dreams that may be floating all around you. Again, you have a choice to make. You can curl yourself up in a ball and cry. You can go to the doctor and get drugs to take your mind off of it. Or you can just drop out of life and say, hey, my dream is broken. There's just nothing else that's worth living for. Or you can notice there's other people in the water with you. Their dreams have been broken too. In fact, some of the people that are in the water with you, if you look real close, you'll find that they have a lot worse than you do. And so here's what you do. You take a piece of your broken dream, you throw it to them, and you say, here, hang on to this. I'll pull you to shore. You see, those that have been through the storms are the best people to help others get through them too. You've been there. You know what it's like to be in the ship in the middle of that storm for weeks and weeks and weeks with no relief. And you're in the best position to help them get through the storm. So instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, we ought to grab a piece of our broken dreams, throw it to somebody in the drink with us, and say, hang on. Just hang on. I'll pull you to shore. Helping them helps you. Helping them takes your mind off what you're going through. Helping them through their storm helps you get through yours. And there's people all around us, if we take the time to notice, they're going through the storms of life, and they just need somebody to help them. They just need somebody to throw them a life vest or throw them a life preserver, throw them a piece of wood that floats and say, hang on, I'll help you get safely to shore. How do you make it through the storm? Much time with God. Much faith in God. Little fear, more cheer. Taking care of yourself physically and then helping others. That's how we make it through the storm. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for putting this wonderful story. It's not wonderful for the people that went through it, but it's wonderful for us because it teaches us so much truth about life. And I pray that as we've considered it today, both this morning and tonight, that you would help us grab a hold of those truths. That you would help us just look at what Paul and the others in this ship went through and how they made it. And Father, we'd apply it to our lives in the storms that we go through. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that still doesn't have safe passage to that shore because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you'd help them tonight see their sin. You'd help them see the penalty for that sin. But Father, help them see the good news of the Bible that Jesus Christ died for them, died for their sins, and offers to all the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. Help them tonight make that decision to receive Jesus. Most, if not all of us tonight, are Christians. Father, help us to realize there's people going through storms all around us. And yeah, it's tough sometimes when we have to go through them, but we have an anchor that holds in the time of storms, and that anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us to hang on to him and be a help to others. Bless this time of invitation. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help us be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.